mother-in-laws and that sort of thing. So you need to tune in that aspect, but this is not going to be Jason up here trying to give you how to be a better mom in 10 steps or anything like that. That is not what we're doing. Not qualified to do that message. But what I do want to talk about is how to honor our mothers this morning, right? Because that's a command. Honor your mother and your father that your days will be long on the earth. And so we want to talk about that. And we want to talk about all the ways that applies to us, as I put up here, in a very real and gritty world. See, and I want to say from the outset that I wish everybody had Leave It to Beaver's family, right? I do. Or some other idyllic version of that. And some of you guys, like from the, some of you older, and I'm not, man, that's wonderful. Some of you from the, that grew up in the 1950s and 60s where it was just normal. Everybody, you didn't know anybody that was divorced. Oh, how I wish we could get back to that. Okay? I want to say how much we honor that and respect that, and how much this guy, this husband of 18 years now, is fighting for that to be our kid's story. But I want to say to you, I come from a divorced family. My wife comes from a divorced family. My kids are going to school with a lot of divorce in their family. And you say, what does that got to do with mothers, Jason? It's got a lot to do with how we honor them. Okay? Because, man, it introduces just a lot of different dynamics into this whole command of honor your father and your mother. Because if all of a sudden you're at dad's house and dad's like, well, she's just a no-good so-and-so, right? And mom's saying the same thing about dad, it's all of a sudden making this sixth commandment thing sound really a lot different. You with me? Somebody, nod your heads, all right? All right, I know we can't talk because we're Southern Baptists. So we don't talk. Nod your heads or something, man. Come on. All right. So let me pray real fast. Father, I need your help. Can't do it without you, God. And I want to deliver something that would be worthwhile to hear. Lord God, that will help someone or change someone. Lord, it's in your good name we pray. Amen. So first of all, let's just look at the commandment, Sheila. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and then it repeats it again in Deuteronomy 5, and we'll see at the end of the sermon how Paul picks up on this in Ephesians 6, 1. It says this, honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be, that's the way I memorized it, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay? Now, it's interesting that this command is the sixth command, and the five before it are all what I will call horizontal commands, vertical commands, okay? They relate to man's relation to God. So, in other words, I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, all right? And number two, don't even try and make something you think looks like me. You don't know what I look like, so don't do it. Don't bow down to it. Don't worship it. That's number two. Number three, don't jack with my name. My name is holy. You don't misuse my name. I won't hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name. And he goes on and he says, don't mess with my day. Okay? And I got a special day. It's my day. Don't mess with it. Honor that day and keep it holy. And I feel like I've forgot one. I'm pretty sure I did. I can't think of what it was right now. But they were all vertical, how man relates to God. So then all of a sudden, he shifts. God's, now you got to picture this. God and Moses are up on a mountain, and he is giving the big 10 commands. He's saying, this is the covenant. This is what y'all do to show you're my people. Here's the 10 commandments. Abraham didn't know about this stuff. I'm giving it to you, Moses, and this is forever. This is our covenant. This is what we do. This is the thing. And the first five pertain to how we relate to one another, God to man. Okay? That's far more important. We get to number six. Now, I want you to think about this because it's ahead of things like murder, adultery, lying, coveting, which you don't think of as being a big deal, but a lot of other things start when you start to covet what somebody else has. It was sandwiched right before all that, what I would consider pretty big stuff. I mean, if you asked me, if you said, Jason, what's the most important commandment as pertains for men relating to other men? I'd say, it's got to be don't kill each other, right? What's the first thing we messed up other than eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Then next thing you know, you got Cain killing Abel. So don't do that. But God says no. The next thing in order of importance is honor your mother and your father. Why do you think that is? Could it be that a lot of the problems we have as a society really come down to how our homes function? Could it be that we wouldn't have to worry about as much murder and adultery and other things if we had a good man, or a man trying to be good anyway, married to a woman trying to be good, trying to their best to be the best mom and dad they could, under God, following God's laws? I wonder how that would change the world. So I think there's a pretty good reason why. This is number 6. God's saying, look, man, first thing you need to do is get your life right with me. The next thing you need to do is you need to get work on your family. And I like that he addresses this to us as children, not as parents. Okay? Because if you're alive, you came from somebody. Right? Alright? You can potentially not have children, right? But if you're a child, you came from someone, right? Are you with me on this? And so that's why he relates it to you kids honor your mother and your father. Big deal. Sheila, roll to the next slide, please. Okay. I love this. Do you know why Forrest Gump was such a good soldier? I'm not going to say any expletives and you don't remember them, but Private Gump, why did you assemble that rifle so quickly? Because you told me to, Drill Sergeant. Right? Gump, you're going to be a general someday. You know? That's what Forrest did so good, right? The Drill Sergeant said, put that rifle together quickly, and he did, right? The problem with us as people, and when I say as people, I really think this is a very American trait. God has gave me the gift of being able to travel. And I don't like to talk about that much because I don't like to sound pretentious like, oh, when I was in, you know, wherever. But I have got to see and experience other cultures around the world. And let me just tell you something. When I was in China, you know, I don't think I could accept their whole system of government. I really don't think. I would ask them, like, how do you cope with not being free? And they're like, oh, well, we are free. And I'm like, well, you can't elect your leaders. And you can't make any laws. And they're like, well, I don't need that to be free. And I'm like, yeah, you kind of do. Yeah. So it's a wonder I'm not in a gulag, honestly, man. But they wanted our money, so I'm still here. But a very American trait is we don't like people telling us what to do. Okay? We were a country, if you think about it, very unique. We are a country founded on rebellion. Hey, King, you're not sitting over there in England telling us what to do. Don't raise our taxes. I don't get any benefit out of you raising my taxes, King. Frankly, you know, you're going to have to back off. And you know the story. We kicked those guys out of here. And we developed a country where we take pride in the fact that we, the people, have the power. And I think that's a very good thing, right? I mean, I'm very pro-republicanism. And when I say that, I mean we're a Republican government and not talking about a political party. I think it's probably the best form of government developed by man yet, right? But it hurts us. It hurts us as it relates to how we deal with our fellow man, especially, I think, in two places, in the family and in the church. You see, if we were a more obedient people, it would be easier when God says things like, you do this, just to say, okay. Right? But we want to have our own say on it. I mean, even this verse, you know, I've been doing this for a while now, and I got a feeling some people would want to argue with me. Well, back in the Hebrew, it doesn't really mean that you got to. Yeah, it kind of does. No, you're not smarter than everybody else born around before you. You're probably not the smartest person in the room, right? It's probably not. Unless you're Nate. You know, I was kidding. That's had to pick on somebody. So, all right. So it's a command. I said all that to say it's a command. And I said all that to say part of this whole deal that we call Christianity is if you, now this is quoting the Bible, if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. See, that's kind of how salvation works. It's about, it's more than just, oh, Jesus is Lord. It's about, he's my boss. That's what Lord means. He's in charge of me. So if he tells me to do this, I don't got a choice. I got to honor my mom and my dad. Now, next verse, or next slide, please, Sheila. Okay, so I had to then ask, what does it mean to honor someone? Because we've got different ideas, I mean, about how to honor someone sometimes. I mean, if we wanted to honor someone who's done a good job at work, we might give them a bonus, you know. If we wanted to honor somebody who's done a good job at work for 35 years, we might give them a watch or a party. Or a party and a watch. But in this context, how do we honor our mother and our father? How about just, do we just do Mother's Day once a year? Wake up, make them breakfast, give them a gift, and then we're good? Command fulfilled till next year, right? No? No. So here's what, I had to look it up. I wanted to know what the word honor means as it was written in the original language. And I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I had to get out my old Strong's. I used to have to do that in book form. Now I have a handy little app on my phone. Very cool. But it's a root word. And I edited this, and you can put, you know, look it up. I'm letting you know I edited this because this can have, this word in itself can have good or bad connotations. As it was meant here, it was meant to have the good connotation. So I just, in order not to have such a busy slide, I just present that to you. To be heavy or to make heavy in a good sense, to make weighty, to boast, to glorify, make glorious, glory in, to be great, to make heavy, be heavier. And we say that, we mean that in a good way, right? Not to, you know, cook him a lot of fattening food. That's not what he's talking about here. So the command to honor is a command to glory in your parents. To boast in your parents. To make their name, if you will, weighty. So that if I say to you the name Jane Miller, you go, that's a good name. That's a good person. That's a good mom. That's our role as children. When the Bible says to honor them, that's what he's saying. We're to glory them. We're to magnify them. Right? I mean, honestly, if you think about this, the Bible doesn't use this sort of language in relation to anybody else but God. But there is a, it is important that we be, if you will, reverent or honor, you know, like towards our parents. Like we hold them in honor. Okay? Next slide, please. So here's my deal. Some of you guys are naturally compliant people. And I love that about you. Okay? Some of you are not. I've got three children. My oldest that's about to graduate high school has been so easy. I mean, really. Like, she always says, like, Dad, what time should we be home, tonight? And I'm like, 4 a.m., you know, because I know she'll be home by 10. Okay? Like, she is just gonna, she wants to do right. She wants to please. She's obedient. But then, there's Sydney Rose. There's Josh, too. Josh is a little bit of both, but there's Sydney Rose, who is a lot like her old man. So if you give me a command, I want to know why. And if it's stupid, I don't think I should obey it. 55 miles an hour is a stupid law. Right? I follow cops. I mean, I drive 65,000 miles a year. Cops don't even drive 55, man. So I feel myself excused from following that law because in my brain, I've deemed it a stupid law. This is how my mind works, okay? I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying what is. This is what I have to overcome to be a good person, to be a good Christian. Because, you know, all my life, my parents were like saying stuff like, be home at 10. And I'm like, why? Because I said so. That's not a good reason for me. If you're raising one like me, don't do that, man. No, don't do that because I said so. Unless you just have to. Sometimes I get it. You just have to pull out the, because I said so. But overall, not a great. So I'm saying that to say, honoring people for me is easy if I deem you as worthy of honor. But if I have deemed you in my mind as not being worthy of honor because, and I may have reasons, right? Maybe you, and I'm making these up, okay? I'm not talking about my family or any, okay, these are just pulling out things that happen. Because maybe you left my dad or you left my mom. Or because, you know, you hit people. Or because you just don't talk to people very good. Or because whatever your story is, you know the story better than I, that when God says honor your mother and father, you go, no, I'm not, because he or she is a jerk. I don't know what that reason is. Some of you do. Some of you had the best mom and dad that ever walked the earth, and I think that's awesome. Here's the deal. This command did not give you an out. It did not give you an out. It is a command from God, written on stone by his own finger, written in his word, breathed in there, the very word of God. So you don't get an out by saying, they're not honorable. They're just not honorable, so I'm not going to honor them. Sheila, can you do the next slide? See, this is one of my favorite stories. Okay, I used to be a Boy Scout leader, Cub Scout leader, actually. That's my boy up there, Fun with Son. He was a Tiger at the time. Go Tiger. And I was a Cub Scout leader, and I had a bunch of boys in there, and we were in this room. And somebody was talking about something, and this kid pipes up, this little kid, okay, and we just got done talking about the Boy Scout Oath and repeating the Boy Scout Oath. And the Boy Scout Oath is, I promise to do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to help other people and to obey the law of the pack. Okay, so that's the Boy Scout Oath. We just got done talking about that, and this little boy pops up, and he says something derogatory about his dad. Because we always like say, bring your dads, we're doing Fun with Son, and you know, so you'll bring your dads and stuff, and make sure your dad knows about this. And this kid pops up, and he says, and I'm talking like, this kid's 10. He's like, my dad's a no good so-and-so. Only he didn't say no good so-and-so. You with me? In fact, he was using words I was quite appalled by for a, you know, probably fourth grader. And I said, buddy, what did we just do? You remember that oath? I promise to do my best, to do my duty to God. What's God say? And I gave him a little spiel about this commandment and my country and to help other people. And, you know, I went through the whole thing. And I'm like, buddy, you can't talk about your dad like that. Well, my mom does. And she says, I can too. Because he don't pay no child support. I'm just repeating, right? It's always... You got me. Hey. All right. I always think about this story when I think about the whole honor your parents thing, because this boy had been excused from honoring his dad by his mom. Okay? Now let me get real with you for a second. Pull the doors out. This is the one point in this whole message I'm addressing moms and dads in particular, because I'm trying to focus this on children, of which we all are, as I said earlier. You do not have the authority to relieve your children of obeying this command. I don't care what he or she did. I live in a world where 50% of marriages, to our shame, end in divorce. I live in a world where most of our kids are going to school with people who have mixed, whatever you want to call them, families. Not the traditional mom and dad living in the same house. That's the world we actually do live in. I wish it wasn't. And I'm telling you, with the authority of the Word of God, you, I don't care what they've done, don't diminish them in your kids' eyes. Somebody say amen. It's a good word. Say amen with that, all right? It's a good word. It's important. It's being done every day. Mom and dad split up, and you want to make sure the kids are on your side. Now, I would that no family split up ever again. I wish that every family got to grow up and see mom and dad be married for like 75 or 80 years. And I pray you fight for that too. But if it happens, I think you tripled the sin if you use your kids as a pawn to diminish the other parent in their kids' eyes. You with me? Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, it happened to me. My parents were divorced. And as the oldest son, not just the son, but the oldest son, I was 18 years old, just coming into manhood. And I felt the need, all of a sudden, to be like the man of the house. Right? And to put myself in the middle of that, of what they had going on. I say to you, children, don't do that. You'll say things, if you do that, you'll say things to your parents that you'll regret for the rest of your life. It's not your battle to fight. And you're not the man of that house. Okay? Maybe that wasn't for you. Share it for someone who was for. All right? Let's move on to the next thing. Wind us up. Maybe you're the sort of person that's always looking for a loophole. I object, Your Honor. Maybe you're, for whatever reason, you don't have a living mom and dad. Maybe you've got, maybe you do well at honoring your mother and father as you see it, but you treat your stepmother or stepfather like something on the bottom of your shoe, or your mother-in-law, somebody preach. Things maybe you don't always treat them well. Listen, how did Jesus like lawyers who were always looking for a loophole to excuse themselves from having to obey a law. Did Jesus like that? Well, you know the Bible well enough to know Jesus didn't like that. Raise your hand. Do you know the Bible well enough to know Jesus wasn't a fan of people looking for loopholes all the time to get out of having to follow laws like, oh, I know the Bible says that I'm to honor my mother and my father, but I gave that gift I could have used to help my mother to the Lord. So I'm excused. And Jesus flat out called that as hypocrisy. As a matter of fact, some of his strongest language he ever used on earth, he said, "You're a whitewashed tomb, dude. You look good on the outside and the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. Who do you think you are to excuse yourself from following the Word of God?" So what I want to say to you is Jesus don't like that kind of stuff. That's pretty true in the Gospels. So when a command comes and it says, honor your mother and your father, I'm going to go ahead and just say, that means all the mothers. That means the stepmother. Even though I wish you didn't have one, I wish your parents were still together. Reality is, you do have one. It happened. I wish that divorce didn't happen, but it did. And now, you got to be nice to that lady. You got to be nice to that lady. The mother-in-law. I will say this, and as a person who considers himself an observer of human behavior, okay? I have a lot of witty observations about life. I think I should have a radio show, if you want to be honest. I think women struggle with this more than men. I'm not saying men are always great at it, but there's this dynamic between the husband's mom and the wife, right? That I've just observed in life. I'm not saying guys are perfect at this. I'm just saying this is a struggle, right? Maybe I don't know what it is. You know, it's like he's lying now. Well, he was my first fool. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's real. I'm saying this to you. Honor your mother and your father, and don't look for a loophole. Don't say, she ain't my mom, okay? Because I don't think God looks at it like that. I really don't. The fairy godmother thing, those aren't real. I just threw that out there. I've ran out of different moms to think about, so I wanted one more. So that's the deal. Last slide, I think. So this is, no, it's got two more, but I'm going to go quickly. This is Paul revisiting the thing. And he says this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Okay, here's where I want to just spend a minute and talk about you as you enter adulthood. You see, Paul addresses this to children. You see, children obey your parents, all right? So there was a time where it didn't matter what I thought, okay? Dad said mow the lawn, I needed to go mow the lawn. By the way, did you know this list, among the list of things, when Paul goes through the list of people who are lost, one of the things on the list with the murderers and the rapists is children who disobey their parents. Okay? So I just want to make a quick differentiation, okay? When you're a child, and for the purposes of this, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that age is probably different depending on the person. But let's say at roughly about 18, when you're a child, you need to obey your mom and dad, whether you like it or not. But there came a day when I left my mom and dad, and I cleaved to my wife, and we became one flesh, as the Bible put it. And at that point, you know, my dad doesn't need to be calling me and telling me, hey, man, I think you need to go to Florida on vacation this year. All right? You need to leave and you cleave to your spouse. There's a change that happened there, okay? So here's what I'm saying. I'm just going to go quick. I'm going to try to go really quick here. But listen, parents, butt out of your kids' marriages. Kids, adult children, the Bible does not mandate you to obey them anymore, but it does mandate you to honor them. You with me? Okay, so there was a time and a season where, and let me tell you something, if you got little kids running around this house that are disobedient, you're in sin. Make them obey, okay? You're in sin, they're in sin. Fix that. But there comes a time where they don't have to obey anymore. So I'm getting ready to experience that, right? I've got to decide, when is that point for this one right here? When is that point? Is Friday a magic day where she's 18 and she graduates and all of a sudden, but she's still living in my house? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But I do know this. When I walk her down that aisle and I say, her mom and I give this girl away to marry this man, at that point, for sure, I'm done telling her what to do. With her, probably not. No, that's probably not true. I'll probably still tell her what to do sometimes, but she's done with the obligation to obey me. Fair enough? All right. Last slide, I think. This is point out that this command has a promise. So, I have aspirations towards a long life. I'd like to, you know, seems like it'd be cool not to have to work every day and get to just do things I want to do. Now, I'm not saying that's what it's like. Probably some of you that are retired, like, you don't know what it's like. Yeah, you're right. But I want to. And I'm aware of the fact that in order for me to get there, I'm probably not going to have enough money, whatnot, until I'm about 65. So I'd like to have about 20 years of that. So, you know, I'm trying to do things like lose weight, keep the old heart in shape, eat right, even though I'd rather eat pizza 5 nights a week. But can I tell you this? The Bible is true. There is a promised blessing with this. Long life upon the earth. And I tell you that to say this, that none of God's commands are because God desires to be just controlling you. And if you think about your life as a parent, none of the things that God says or that you say to your kids are probably just because you like to control them. You know, the whole don't play in the streets because you don't want them to get run over, right? And God's commands are for your happiness. So I put happiness tip on there. Obeying God's word will lead to your happiness. Amen? Amen. So we'll end it. Sheila, one more. Hey? Sheila. All right, there we go. All right. Have a happy, wonderful Mother's Day. Lou, you want to come up to the piano for a minute? We wanted to honor you this morning if you're a mother. I want to say this. We want to take a time that if you are really convicted by this message, come up here and tell the Lord. The Bible says if you confess your sins, that He'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some of you might not like coming up forward to the altar. Can I just say this? Absolutely none of us believe that you are perfect. I don't care who you are. And we rejoice to see any person pray. So if you need to come pray, pray.